Welcome to the Ozaukee Family Wellness Podcast, a guide to finding wellness resources in Ozaukee County. Your host, Dr. Camille Berger, will interview a local business or care provider each week to provide you with resources, information, and connections for your family's wellness. As a family chiropractor in Cedarburg, Dr. Berger wants to empower you to take charge of your family's health and wellness. Of course, she would love to hear what you want to learn about and who you want to hear from. To submit a request, head over to ozaukeefamilywellness.org and hit the contact button to send an email. Or leave us a review and let us know what you think. We can't wait to hear from you. So stay tuned, hit subscribe, and sit back and enjoy the first episode. Today, Dr. Camille will introduce us to her guest, Dr. Lauren Beecher, a physical therapist that specializes in pelvic floor physical therapy. Dr. Lauren will describe what pelvic floor physical therapy is and who she sees in her practice.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm here today with Dr. Lauren Beecher, physical therapist. She specifically is a pelvic floor physical therapist, so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. All right. So, Lauren, can you start with telling us a little bit about what pelvic floor PT is?
Yeah, and thanks for having me. So pelvic floor PT is a specialty area of physical therapy. So I once heard it described as like the pedics in a cave, which I thought was kind of fun. So with pelvic floor PT, we're looking at the person from a whole body perspective, but we're looking at the pelvis and the pelvic floor muscles, the pelvic organs in a very unique way that's different from a traditional orthopedic physical therapist where you might be going in and saying, okay, I went for a really long walk and now my ankle hurts, or I moved last weekend and now I have back pain. We're working on things like leaking when you sneeze or cough, or pelvic organ prolapse, or back pain with pregnancy, all of those types of things, which is a little different from what you typically think of when you think of physical therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the whole body approach. As you know, as a chiropractor, that's how chiropractic approaches things too. So it's so wonderful that we have these additional options available to us to address something that maybe might not traditionally be addressed or be put off as normal. In reality, a lot of these problems that you're addressing, while they're not normal, they are quite common.
Exactly. And I think that's something that you'll hear a lot of pelvic floor physical therapists and other practitioners say is the phrase common, not normal, because about a third of women who are people who give birth will have some type of pelvic floor dysfunction. And if you're one in three, it's definitely common. So what I like to tell people is that just because your friend or your mom or your aunt or whoever also said that, oh yeah, that happens to me, like, what did you expect when you had a child? It doesn't mean that you need to deal with it because someone else dealt with it.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So my next question is, what additional work and classes and education have you done to work specifically with the pelvic floor?
Most physical therapists that are really practicing either have a master's degree if they've been working for 15, 20 years, physical therapists who have graduated within the last 10, 15 years most likely have their doctorate. So much like chiropractic, we do some type of undergraduate degree and then move on and do a doctorate in physical therapy. So when I graduated as a generalist. Things are people with different concerns. And since then, I've done probably thousands of hours of continuing education just to really be able to work with people with pelvic floor issues. So that's ranged everything from classes, just how to assess the pelvic floor muscles. If someone comes to you and says, okay, I urine when I sneeze or I cough, or like the second I walk in the door, I have to race to the bathroom. Or things like, I feel a lot of heaviness or pressure at my pelvic floor, or it hurts or it's not comfortable anymore. all kinds of different coursework related to those types of concerns, as well as just courses specific to, okay, when someone's pregnant and they come to you with like carpal tunnel or neck pain, what are some different things that you would look at or different ways that you would treat someone who is currently pregnant with those issues compared to someone who has carpal tunnel or neck pain and isn't currently pregnant?
Yeah, there's a huge difference between the pregnant patient and the non-pregnant patient. So,
definitely.
Yeah, totally different assessment, a lot of different things going on. So who do you typically see? Do you see pregnant women?
Yeah, so a big part of what I do is treating women during pregnancy, treating people after they've given birth, and maybe they gave birth 6 weeks ago, maybe they gave birth 6 years ago. There is never a like perfect window or perfect time frame. So I treat a lot of people who are pregnant or have given birth. A lot of women are people who are perimenopausal, menopausal, because those are kind of the two big times in life where we have a lot of hormonal changes in our body, a lot of just changes in muscle and their ability to do everything that we ask them to do. So things related to birth, it's a big part of what I do. I do also treat a handful of people who have issues with either having an erection or more types of like prostate issues, which is a smaller part of my practice, but definitely a part of it. And then as of 2020, I recently started treating kids as well, which has been a whole new challenge and a lot of fun. But the more I've learned about it and the more I've talked to different parents, like almost everyone's child at some point or another has some type of pooping problem. So those kids who don't just quite outgrow it, or their pediatrician or care provider says, oh no, they'll outgrow bedwetting, or just that idea they'll outgrow and they aren't outgrowing it. It's been months or it's been years. Being able to be another part of that family's care has been really special.
So tell more about what an appointment for kiddo.
With kids, our treatment approach is very different than it is with adults, to a certain degree. So with anyone that I work with, we're talking about a very thorough history first. So when did this problem first start? Was there a change in your life? And maybe that change was, yes, I became pregnant. Maybe the change was another baby was born, or we moved, or there was a big change in our family dynamic. Maybe it was they were sick. There are a lot of different things that when we look back and we see, okay, what made the body start to respond differently that it felt like needed to hold on to this problem, especially in regards to constipation, which is a big part of what I've been doing with kids lately. And with kids, sometimes it just takes one really painful bowel movement, and then they're afraid to have a bowel movement again because they're afraid that it's going to hurt. So with kids and adults, we go through a very thorough history. And then from there, we're looking a lot at just like gross motor function. So is your child moving in a way that is age appropriate? Are there reflexes? Like when your physician or your care provider taps with a little reflex hammer on their knee, are all of those reflexes intact? So just looking at some big body movements that are age appropriate for the child. And then at a first visit, we're usually talking a lot about filling out what we call a voiding log or a bladder log or a bowel log. So our diet, what we put into our body, affects what comes out of our body and how things move through our body to an incredible extent. So I talk with whoever comes in with the child about the importance of, okay, for the next week, I need you to keep track of every single thing that your child eats and every trip that they take to the bathroom. And in children who are older, a lot of this they can, to a certain degree, fill out themselves. But your five-year-old probably needs some help with that. And then we talk through, like, okay, so what are some ways that, some important things to look for as you're filling this out? So if a child is, for instance, wetting the bed or waking up in the morning, can you figure out what night that's happening? Is it first thing in the morning? Is it at 2 a.m.? Trying to narrow down the window of when those issues are occurring. Maybe they poop fine on the weekends or days where they're home from school, but they get really backed up throughout the week. So I ask parents, I don't want you to change anything. I don't want you to do anything different, but I want you to keep track of it, because what your child is experiencing, this is their normal right now, and we want to get it to a comfortable normal, but we don't want to just try to change things to change things. We want to be really strategic about it so that it's a thoughtful process. So the first visit is a lot of talking, a lot of conversation, a lot of education, and that's with both kids and adults. With kids, of course, we are not doing any internal work. So an adult and a child, we assess the pelvic floor differently. I'm still looking to see our reads intact. But with children, using a lot more of our observation strategies. So asking a child, okay, I want you to squeeze your muscles, like, don't fart on me, like, and using strategies like that. versus, okay, I want you to see if you can engage or activate or squeeze your pelvic floor muscles. That means nothing to a five-year-old, but I don't want you to fart on me. It's funny. And engages the right muscles. So very different strategies to look at muscle function. And then seeing, okay, do they have good awareness of trying not to toot? And we use a tool called biofeedback, where we're taking just these little electrodes, they're little burrs, and we can place them on the outside of the pelvic floor muscles to see, okay, what is like the resting tone like of these muscles? When your child tries not to toot or fart, do these muscles engage? And then do they relax? And just kind of working from there based on what we find. And a lot of the younger children, the four-year-olds, the five-year-olds, six-year-olds, they do really, really well with that right away. Because I think there's just a lot less discomfort about talking about those types of bodily functions and those parts of their body. Whereas the older a child gets, chances are they've had some poor experiences with friends or at school. And even the parents are doing everything they can, there is often some shame or some discomfort talking about strategies and things that they're experiencing. So the sooner, better, because it's a lot easier for not only the child, but the family as well.
Yeah, and that's another really good reason to address the problem sooner rather than later. I noticed with my seven-year-old, even in the last couple months, like, if she has a tummy ache, I ask if she's gone poop yet today, and she like doesn't want to answer me. And I'm like, I'm, you know what? I'm your mom. It's okay. You can tell me. I'm not gonna make fun of you. yeah, kids have some interesting concepts of how they perceive the world, and when they're younger, they don't have
there is fear. no filter.
Yep, that's
what good, bad, or otherwise filter with your preschooler. They'll tell you if they pooped, they'll tell you what it looked like and if it smelled or not. Like, they will tell you anything and everything that you want to know, and then some.
yeah, absolutely. Okay, so why, or what are some typical reasons why women seek you out for pelvic floor PT?
Two most frequent reasons why someone would come to see me: leaking urine, or they're having pain with intercourse or sex. And incontinence is kind of the fancy medical word for leaking. And that can be anything from leaking urine, leaking gas, so passing when you didn't intend to, or even leaking feces, unfortunately. So a lot of time, pregnancy or menopause is kind of that precipitating factor to any type of incontinence, especially leaking urine. So with people who are experiencing that, it's kind of the same idea of the sooner we can work on this, the better. During pregnancy, it's definitely a little bit of an uphill battle because the body is experiencing all of these changes and you have this growing baby that is going to keep pushing water, keep putting more pressure on your pelvic floor muscles. But a lot of strategies that we can use and learn to do and do a little differently so that you aren't having as many issues at all, especially after those first couple of weeks postpartum.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm just curious if you have people that come to see you for kind of in between their pregnancies, know that they had a hard birth, know that they maybe tore a lot and had back pain or pelvic pain with their previous pregnancies. Do they come to see you before they become pregnant again in preparation to become pregnant again?
Yeah, I'd say a lot of the people that I see, they're either come to me before getting pregnant again, pregnant with their second or their third child, and they had a really, really tough pregnancy before that. I'd say most of the people that I see, and it's their first pregnancy, they either have a friend that's a chiropractor or a physical therapist or a doula, or they have a very personal connection and are working with me proactively. But unfortunately, the vast majority are coming because they had a bad experience or a less than optimal experience the first time around, and they want things to be different. Mm-hmm. So I work with a lot of people who they started leaking with their first, or they had like pubic symphysis pain with their first child, and they don't want things to get as bad with the second. And hopefully they come in between pregnancies because we're able to just kind of do a lot more when we aren't working with a growing body. But there's a lot that we can do even during pregnancy.
Yeah, absolutely. I know pubic symphysis pain is really hard to resolve during a pregnancy, just because of the laxity that's required there to push a baby out of the pelvis. Any other suggestions or advice you want to give before we sign off?
Yeah. So I would say if you're someone that is experiencing any leaking, you feel like you might have prolapse, so you feel heaviness at your pelvic floor, you want to even just prepare for your birth. So things like I can be a great resource for learning how to relax and lengthen your pelvic floor muscles, talking through even different labor and delivery strategies. So different ways that you could potentially move your body, different positions to give birth in. All of those little things, I'm here. Same thing if you have a C-section scar, is really uncomfortable or painful, or you think you have a diastasis. Those little things that might not be so little, that we're here and we're to help.
All right. So it was so nice to talk to you, and we'll have to do this again sometime. And I know we mostly talked about the pelvic floor, so maybe next time we can talk about a diastasis and cover that kind of information, because I get a lot of questions about that in with my patients. So that would be awesome if you'd be open to that.
Definitely.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Ozaki Family Wellness Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. Watch for future episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts. If there is someone that you would like to hear on the podcast, please visit ozakifamilywellness.org to contact us. There is also a link in the episode description. This podcast has been produced and edited by Easy Street Media.
I love Mama and Daddy.